Why was Jesus on the cross? The two men crucified beside him deserved to be there. They were thieves, criminals. But Jesus? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that Jesus knew no sin. Hebrews 4:15 says Jesus was without sin. 1 Peter 2:22 says Jesus did no sin. And 1 John 3:5 says that in Jesus there is no sin. So why is he there? Two simple words: for me. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says that Jesus died for all. All? That includes everyone, doesn't it? All includes me. He died for me.
Lost its victory. the risen Lord of glory, is living now for me. For me, it was for me he cried, for me he died, for me he shed his blood upon a tree. It was for me he came, for me his shame, for me I'll praise his name. It was for me.
John 19:17. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Hebrews 12:2 tells us that Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus bore the cross. Jesus endured the cross for me.
From the city to Calvary, Jesus our Savior was led, bowed neath the weight of the heavy tree he carried that day in our stead. He carried the cross for me. On that Calvary road, Jesus bore my load. He carried the cross for me. Thoughtlessly lashed by the Roman throng, pierced by the merciless thorn, round him was gathered a mocking throng that shouted its hatred and scorn. He carried the cross for me. He carried the cross for me. On that Calvary road, Jesus bore my load. He carried the cross for me. More than the weight of the cross he bore, burdened his back on the way. All the world's sin in its mighty store was heaped on our Savior that day. He carried the cross for me. He carried the cross for me. On that Calvary road, Jesus bore my load. He carried the cross for me.
For me. Imagine that your friend hands you a gift and says, "This is for you." Do you expect to open the gift and find it empty? Of course not. Jesus shed his blood for me. There can be no greater gift, but what have I received from his gift? Ephesians 2:8, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:17 tells us that we receive abundance of grace and the gifts of righteousness. What wonderful gifts! Grace, salvation, eternal life, righteousness. Anything else? Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Redemption for me.
Jesus, the price is paid.
Because of Calvary, I stand redeemed. But Calvary wasn't the end. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Our Lord is risen. 1 Corinthians 15, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But now Christ is risen from the dead."
Grips the heart within, a curse on fallen men. This pride and selfishness we hold inside. Though we were all condemned, we had a loving friend who came to save us. He lived a perfect life and gave the blind their sight, fulfilled the things foretold by prophecy. He humbly took his cross and died to save the lost, their sins forgiven. The greatest story ever told is of this Jesus, how he came to earth to rescue sinful men, sent from the Father up above to sacrifice in love and take our place and give an ending grace. This Son of God who gave his life and took the grave, obeyed his Father's will despite the cost. But death could not contain his power, his love, his grace, for he is risen. The greatest story ever told is of this Jesus, how he came to earth to rescue sinful men, sent from the Father up above to sacrifice in love and take our place and give an ending grace. The greatest story ever told is the hopeless gloom.
the stony bed. No more a conquering tomb. Christ is risen from the dead. Loudly the news proclaim. Proudly the tidings spread. Publish the victor's name. Christ is risen from the dead. Christ arose from the dead. Praise his matchless glory. Christ arose as he said. Tell the wondrous story. Christ arose, shout and sing. Faileth never. Christ arose as the King, and he lives forever. Jesus lives forever. Jesus lives forever.
Jesus died for me, but he also arose for me. Here is a small list of what Jesus' resurrection does for me. 1 Peter 1:3, the resurrection gives me a lively hope. Romans 4:25, the resurrection justifies me. Romans 8:34, the resurrection takes away my condemnation because Christ makes intercession for me. 1 Corinthians 15:14, the resurrection makes my faith real. 1 Corinthians 15:23, the resurrection gives me assurance that one day I too will be resurrected. My heart's desire should be Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Place your gaze upon our risen Lord and praise him for what the resurrection has done for us. For you and for me.
Righteous reign, the silent empty tomb.
proclaims these words for all to hear. Your sinful self is crucified by resurrection power. Praise the one who lives. Praise the one who lives again. Praise the one who lives again for breaking every chain. When Christ arose, he earned the right of universal praise. The high acclaim of his great name will ring through endless days. Alone he walked the path of death, alone the Lamb was slain. Together every tongue will sing the honor of his name. Praise the one who lives, praise the one who lives again, praise the one who lives again, whose glory owns our days. Praise the one who lives, praise the one who lives again, praise the one who lives again, whose glory.
Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Romans 6:4. That, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Jesus died for me. Jesus was buried for me. Jesus rose for me. But what about you? 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All includes us, includes me, and includes you. Jesus died for all. Become that new creature today because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. Become a changed person and walk in newness of life today because of the resurrection of Jesus. Then you, too, will understand that he did it all for me.
New birth. They nailed him to the
the first of the week, very early in the day, they came unto the tomb and found the stone was rolled away. Two angels said to them, "Why seek the living among the dead? Jesus Christ has conquered death. Just as he said, he is alive. No grave could keep my Lord. He is alive. New life he gives. He is alive. He rose up on that Easter morn. He is alive. My Savior lives. My Savior lives. He is alive. No grave could keep my Lord. He is alive. New life he gives. He is alive. He rose up on that Easter morn. He is alive. My Savior lives. My
Some events in life really have no effect upon us. There's a news item from March 2 of this year. 23 whales washed up on the shores of the East Coast. That's tragic. I'm sure we love animals, and that's a sad story that these Wales Beach, but I'm not sure any of our lives were changed because of that. On the other hand, some events in life do affect us very personally, like last week when the electric was off and we had to have a little bit different kind of service and then cancel the Sunday evening because we didn't have any electricity. That certainly impacted our lives. But then there are some events that only impact us if we let them. For example, we see a car accident. Do we stop and help, or do we just drive by? We have to choose. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a real life event. It actually happened. But for it to have an impact upon our lives, we have to choose to believe it and to trust it. When we do that, according to the scriptures, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has a tremendous meaning for our lives. Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. If you want to turn with me in the scriptures. Romans chapter 4. Verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Justification. For us who are guilty sinners. In which, on the basis of faith alone in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and in his resurrection, we who are guilty sinners, God, for our faith, declares us to be not guilty. Oh, not just that. He declares us to be innocent. Well, not just that. He declares us to be righteous. And not because we have any righteousness. It's because he gives us his. That is what Christ's resurrection did for me. I wonder if we could all say that together. Let me say it one more time. That's what Christ's resurrection did for me. Can we say that all together? That's what Christ's resurrection did for me. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Thus justified, we no longer stand condemned. And no one can say otherwise. Oh, someone may point to something in our past, some sinful thing that we did, and say, oh, look what you did. But the events of our past are irrelevant. When we, by grace through faith, have been saved through Jesus Christ. Because the only thing that is relevant then is what Christ did for us on the cross. And because of what he did for us on the cross and the victory he won in his resurrection, he is able to sit right at the right hand of God the Father, and any time anyone would accuse us of anything, he would say to the Father, paid for. Can we say it all together? That's what Christ's resurrection did for me. Can we say it? That's what Christ's resurrection did for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Verse 16. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is not real. It's vain. You're yet in your sins. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Anyone here miserable? No. Why? Because, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. A lot of people trust in Buddha. But I'm sorry, Buddha's dead, and their faith doesn't do them any good. A lot of people trusted Muhammad, but I'm sorry, Muhammad's dead, and their faith doesn't do them any good. But Jesus is alive. And when we place our faith in the living Christ, our faith is real and meaningful and substantive. For by grace through faith we are saved. Can you say it together? That is what Christ's resurrection did for me. I'm going to ask you to repeat that a couple more times. So be ready. Can you say it? That is what Christ's resurrection did for me. You know, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. First First Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Not a maybe hope. A lot of people in the world have maybe hopes. Maybe it'll happen and maybe it won't. No. Not an uncertain hope, but a hope that is absolutely definite. What we hope for because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ will definitely happen. We can count on it. Thus, our hope in Christ, because he is alive, our hope is living. Can you say it together? That is what Christ's resurrection did for me. And what does that living hope consist of? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. We'll start with verse 21, actually. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, and afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Jesus Christ is the first person to be raised from the dead with a glorified body. Remember, there were others in the scriptures in biblical times that were raised from the dead, but always back to a normal human existence. But Jesus Christ is called the first fruits of resurrection because he's the first one to be raised with a glorified body. And it was a pretty amazing body. Now, for all of you that really like food, be encouraged. He did eat. In fact, in Luke chapter 24, verses 42 to 43, he ate fish right out of the Sea of Galilee. And they tell me that tilapia was the primary fish they caught and ate them. Anybody like that? We'll be able to eat that. But then it says in John 20, 26, he could appear in a room when the doors were closed. I just can't wait to do that. I think that's going to be super fun. During the millennial kingdom, when we rule the earth and judge angels, and boy, we could surprise some people. Can you imagine? In Luke 24, verse 31, he could disappear before your very eyes. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, he could float up into the sky and go through the earth's atmosphere without burning up. What an amazing body. And when it says the first fruit is of the resurrection, that's the promise of more to come. In other words, that's the effect of the resurrection of Jesus Christ on us. Because he was raised in a glorified body, we have the promise that our bodies will be raised and glorified, and when we see him, we shall be like him. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Say it together. That is what Christ's resurrection did for me. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Actually, let's start in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. Which they tell me, this moment in the twinkling of an eye is 1/3 of a second. That's pretty quick. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's the glorified body coming to us. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Remember, we read that in the Old Testament. Now here we have it in the New Testament. O death, where is thy sting? No sting. It's gone. O grave, where is thy victory? Oh, the grave doesn't have the victory. We have the victory. Verse 57, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over death. That's what we have. Jesus, in his death and resurrection, conquered death for us. And thus, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Say it together with me. That is what Christ's resurrection did for me. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The point being, we don't have to wait to be in our glorified bodies to appreciate the power of Christ's resurrection. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 tells us this. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that is, we are immersed into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, we can walk in newness of life now because Christ was raised from the dead. We can live like a truly living person. He is alive. And if we are in him, we are alive. Not just walking about and existing. Truly alive because we understand death cannot touch us. Oh, we may die physically, but it will only be a door through which we will pass into an eternal glory to dwell with our Savior. Can you say it one more time? That is what Christ's resurrection did for me. Have you sensed the impact of Christ's resurrection in your life? Are you alive, not just living in the world, not just existing day by day, not just wandering aimlessly through the existence with no certainty of the future? Are you alive? Well, only in Christ can you be alive. He died and rose again to conquer death so that you and I could live and have a living hope and have rejoicing in the future because we know that on the basis of our real substance of faith in Jesus Christ and our real substance of hope in all that he has done for us because he did everything that needs to be done, that we already have eternal life. Are you alive in Christ? If not, the scripture says, Ephesians chapter 2 at the beginning of the chapter, you're dead in trespasses and sins. And unless you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will remain dead in trespasses and sins for eternity. And that's a very sad prospect. Do you know for sure today that you are alive in Christ? If you're not sure about that, will you come to him today? Confess your sins and your sinfulness bring that repentance to the cross, where Jesus bled and died for you. And then receive a living Savior. So that you can live forever with Him. I trust that you're alive. I hope you're alive. Because if you are, today is a day of great rejoicing. But if you're not and you need to receive Christ as Savior, I want to tell you, we all will rejoice together so much more because you have come to the Savior today. When we sing this closing song, if you need to receive Christ as your Savior, we welcome you to come to the front and someone will sit down with you and share with you how you can be alive in Christ like the rest of us are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the living Savior. And thank you that we who are in Him are alive at this very moment and can walk in newness of life. Lord, I pray that for any soul that is in this room at this moment or listening to this sermon by video, who has not yet received Christ as Savior, would this very moment confess their sin to you and receive Christ as their Savior. Many of us in this room are alive, and we rejoice and are glad this day because we have a living Savior. We lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving to you, our wonderful God, who sent your Son to accomplish this for us. May you be glorified by all that has been said and done in this place this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.